some of the stars through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller. Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We are back for a fresh new week of exciting guests, and today we're going to be welcoming Robin Raven to the show. She's the author of a brand new book. We're going to be talking to her about all things that are going on with her in the next hour. But before we do that, I want to kind of recap what we're going to be doing for this week. So, you know, everybody has their calendars out, get your pen and pencil out, and mark down that tomorrow we're going to have psychic Lisa Pini on the show at 4 p.m. Pacific. You will want to make sure to call in early. I'm giving you the little secret right now. If you'd like to get your call answered, we literally get hundreds of calls when Lisa is calling in to be our guest. You will want to call in 15 minutes before the show starts at 3:45 Pacific time if you'd like to have your question answered. Otherwise, we just get hundreds of calls, and we only get to so many. You know, it works out that way when you got an hour show. Wednesday, we have indie film producer Carrie Droll coming onto the show to talk about her involvement with a brand new season of Child of the 70s. Their season 4 is coming out next week, and she'll talk about her experience on that program and others. On Thursday's show, we have Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host Rob Watson. We'll be welcoming Michael Vaccaro. Funny enough, we had Carrie on the night before with Child of the 70s. Michael is the star, creator, writer, producer of Child of the 70s. They'll be talking about season 4 and what we can expect that's changed and new for the upcoming season. Then we'll also be joined by Mr. Craig Campobasso. He's the director and co-writer of a new Hollywood film called Please Don't Eat the Pansies. We're going to find out all about that this Thursday on Rated LGBT Radio. And Friday, we've got rocker Frank Yano with Black Valentine. He's a rock band. Can you believe that? That's going to be hour number one. And hour number two, it's DJ Scree. I hope I'm saying that right, Matt. It's DJ Scree who's giving us an hour set of dance music that he's put together, and I can't wait for you to all hear that because I took a little sneak peek today after he sent it over and uploaded it into the studio, and it was a lot of fun. So without further ado, I would always say, you know, let me read to you this author or this musician or this actor's biography, but, you know, it's kind of right there on the show page, and I've also included a link, by the way, to Robin's author page on Amazon, so you can go read about her there, but then also buy the book. We're in the selling mode, folks. We want to encourage people to buy the merch, and the book is available on Kindle for $3.99. That's a savings of 69% over paperback. Paperback's a bargain at $12.99. I'm a big fan that if you do buy the book, and you should, always buy 10 copies, buy one for you, and then buy 9 for friends and family as the gift season continues to happen all year round. So without further ado, Robin Raven, welcome to Rated G Radio. How are you?
Hi, Garrett. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for having me on.
I'm so excited to be here. Can we start the show by saying the 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon is due in part today by Tony G and Hackensack? And Tony's listening.
Yes, hi, Tony.
Yeah. So, Robin, this is your first time on the show. I hope you'll come back lots and lots of times with all the hundreds of books you'll write over your career. So this is my first time getting a chance to chat with you. Tell me about you. Who are you?
Thank you for asking. I'm a writer. I'm originally from Alabama, and I went to college in New York, and lived in Los Angeles for a long time and spending some time back in Alabama right now. But
so how do you go from Alabama to New York to California?
Yeah.
Right.
I was always interested in the arts. It started out with dance, and then I was interested in writing, and then I got interested in acting as well. And so I always dreamed about, you know, I was growing up in a smaller town, so I would always dream about the big city, New York and L.A. So when I was a teenager, I headed to the School of Visual Arts in New York City for college. So
What did you do growing up in Alabama that prepared you for your trip to New York? Did you study in high school? Were you in plays? Were you involved in the choir? What kind of stuff did you do artistically?
You know, I wasn't. You know, I grew up in a smallish town, so my high school didn't really have a lot of arts programs. but I did take dance when I was younger, and I started to write as a child. I was really inspired by movies and books that I would read, and I wrote my first novel actually when I was 7 years old. Wrote it
Get
by
out.
Hand. Yeah, I was just like obsessed with creating stories, and so I
So what
still
was that
have
about?
it. Yeah, it was about this little orphan girl and her adventures. Of course, really bad because I was seven, but it
Well,
was.
you know, somebody's got to write a story like that. Why not you?
Yeah, that's true. Good point. That's the way you think.
So,
yes.
what was New York like for you? Did that scare you at all when you first went there?
Not at all. I was ready to have fun, ready for adventures. I thought it was so exciting. And I thought all the stereotypes, you know, that people have about New Yorkers couldn't be less true. Like, whenever I was, people would tell me, oh, it's going to be scary. The people aren't friendly there. But honestly, I think the friendliest people I've ever met in my life are native New Yorkers.
I know.
It's really awesome. Mm-hmm.
They're really great. I think Hollywood gives New Yorkers a bad name, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. My two trips that I've been there, or really the Northeast, you know, because I know Tony's in New Jersey. Tony is quite a nice man as well. They are the nicest
yeah.
people. But they're short and to the point. They're not going to tell you these
yeah.
long rambling stories. If you ask where the pizza place is, they'll say, which one? Tony's, 5th and Main, go, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly so. I just loved it. I was so happy there.
Did the winters kind of scare you at all with the snow and the rain and the cold?
Yeah, I wasn't prepared for that at all. I had seen snow maybe twice in my hometown. It snowed twice in my life, and then only, you know, a few inches, barely. And so, yeah, it was complete, weather-wise, a complete shock. Culture-wise, it was a shock, but in a good way. I like the seasons. I think it's beautiful in New York all year long.
It is interesting. So what were some of the major takeaways that you had while you were going to school in New York?
Oh, gosh, so many things. I met lifelong friends there, and that was really, really probably the most important part of the whole experience to me, the people I met, you know, just most incredible people. And I met my mentors, two of my mentors in college in New York, Susan Batson and Greg Braun, who taught acting, and who they both have an acting studio now. Greg has one in Los Angeles called the New Collective LA, and Susan has the Susan Batson Studio. She's amazing. So.
Cool. So
yeah.
Did you graduate, or did you get to a point where you're just like, oh, I'm going to call it quits and head out south so I can get a suntan because the snow is driving me nuts?
No, I did actually graduate. Yeah, I've got my screenwriting from bachelor's degree in writing from the School of Visual Arts.
Wow. I'm so excited to talk to you because you have your degree in screenwriting. You don't even know. I think that is so absolutely cool. So when you come back out to California, I've got like tons of people that I'd be like, I need to introduce you to Robin Raven. She's been on the show and she's got a degree in screenwriting. So that'll
be
fun.
That would be great.
What was your, did you have like a final project or a thesis or something like that for getting out of school? Did they make you do anything fun?
I did. I created a feature-length screenplay, and also I made a short film. So I did both. That was really fun.
So do you find the creative process writing a screenplay completely different than, you know, writing a book? You know, we're going to be talking about Next Stop Nina today,
and
before we get to that, you know, because there's so many different forms of writing. You can write songs, you can write poems, you can write, you know, books like you've done, you can write screenplays like you've done. Do you have any favorite type of writing that you've just kind of said, boy, this makes my heart happy?
I don't have any particular type. I love doing a lot of different types of writing. Sometimes back to back on the same day, I'll be working on a screenplay and then I'll be like working on a novel or a short story. But I think screenwriting differs in a lot of ways from writing a novel. It's, you know, a lot more dialogue based. You have to really, I think.
Well, you'd hope so. Otherwise, it's a silent film. So.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's okay too. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm writing a novel, I usually don't write the novels that are dialogue heavy, so it's a different process, but equally fun.
So when you got out here to California, did you have your sights set on Hollywood? What did you want to do out here?
I did. I wanted to act and write, and I had really great experiences with both. I had my feature film debut in a movie called The Third Nail.
Cool. What was that about? And I'm sorry I've missed it.
Oh, it's okay. It was I played the parole officer's assistant named Dana, who was kind of like the comic relief character, and Charles Dutton played the parole officer.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, it starred Huntley Ritter, and it was one of Chloe Moretz's first films. She was in it.
Can I go and watch this on Netflix tonight?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. I know it was released in Australia. It's on DVD now, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't think it's on Netflix, but yeah. I was really thrilled to be a part of that movie.
What was that like
being
on set? Is it as glamorous as everybody makes it out to be?
It was to me. It was very exciting. Huntley Ritter was the star of the film, and he was wonderful to me, and it was, because it was, it was a dream come true that I'd been always my fantasy, so I was really just starstruck over the whole thing. We actually filmed at a prison for my scene.
Where is that?
It was glamorous, and then you walk onto set, and it was an actual former prison, the Civil Grand Prison, Southern California.
Well, I'm glad I don't know where that's at. My parents probably are too, so.
Yeah. Probably does not to know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound familiar. Okay, well, I'm glad you made it out of there. So did you, I suppose probably if, you're doing plays and screenplays and things like that, you kind of have the concept already built in at some point that it's a lot of hurry up and wait. What do you do with your downtime, either as a writer or as an actor or involved in the movie in some capacity, where it's like, okay, we're not going to shoot this scene for another 9 hours and our call time was 8 o'clock. What do you do with your day?
That's a great question. I'm a voracious reader, so I read a lot. And also I like to write anywhere. I always bring around a little notebook, which I guess isn't really necessary with smartphones anymore, but I like to write by hand. And I'm always having ideas and always thinking of something that I want to write. So I'll oftentimes do that. And
I think that is so cool because, I think one of the things that I've found so interesting is because, let's say for a music video, the music video that, musicians still do, it's 3.5 minutes long. But you know how long a typical music video takes to film? Between 1 and 2 days for 3.5 minutes worth of video. And you're like, how can it take that long? You just go turn the camera on and go dance around and sing your line and then you go home. But it's not like that at all because they shoot all the different angles and, they shoot you, in the movies and the TV programs at different angles saying the same thing. So they have different shots, close up, far away, you're looking at your acting mates and all of that. So I don't know. I thought that was really cool. So you're back in Alabama now. What are you doing there? Are you visiting family?
I am visiting family and also doing a lot of writing here. I'm a full-time writer. I take on a lot of clients. I do articles for newspapers and blogs and websites and stuff like that.
So how do you get started doing
that? I actually started doing that when I lived in Los Angeles. I would pitch to different newspapers and magazines, and I was fortunate enough that the Malibu Times had me on assignment to interview Chloe Latanzi, who's a wonderful singer. She had a hit out this past year with her mom, Olivia Newton-John. And so she was great. I went and interviewed her for the Malibu Times. And then from there, I kept pitching and getting more and more assignments until it was a full-time gig. So it was really exciting.
I love that. And you can write from anywhere.
Yeah, so that's what's cool. Yeah, you can just very, very, it's a lot of fun.
Well, let's talk. For everybody who's listening, I promise we're going to stop to talk now about her book, Next Stop Nina. But I'm going to come back and I'm going to have a ton of questions towards the end of the show about your writing process and all of that. But tell us about your new book called Next Stop Nina.
Okay,
and I hope it's Nina.
Great.
It's not Nina. It's...
No, you got it right the first time. Yeah, that's it. It's Nick Falconina. And it's what I would call a literary fiction time travel novel as far as the genre. And it's about a young girl who's in a really difficult situation. And when she's there, she discovers the beauty of art in the face of all that she's going through. And then she grows up and she finds herself in a difficult situation. And right when things seem the worst, she time travels back to when she was a child. And she relives the whole experience over again. And it kind of, yeah, I don't give too much more away of the plot than that. That's the short summary of.
Well, so what inspired a book like that after writing, you know, nonfiction and screenplays and things like that? How did you go off in this direction?
I've always been really fascinated by time travel. I love movies like Peggy Sue Got Married and Somewhere in Time, Back to the Future. And I'd always dabbled in writing time travel stories, but I never did a fully developed one. But I'd always thought about time travel since I was a child. My father committed suicide when I was a child, and I'd always wondered if I could have done something differently when I was growing up. I used to think that, and so I used to think, oh, what if I could go back in time? Could I have changed it? And so that sort of planted the seed for me to write about time travel.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, that was not an answer I was expecting, but oh, my goodness. So can you tell us, you know, I know you told us kind of what the plot is, but tell us a little bit about the main character, your heroine in the novel here. What is her name? And outside of the general plot, can you tell us a little bit about who she is as a character for you?
Sure, I'd love to. She's a really, I think, strong, independent character. She also has a big romantic imagination. And her name is Nina Newman. And she faces the shock of it all in a relatable way that I think the readers will enjoy going through the story because it is told from her point of view. I think they'll enjoy being along with the story with her, keeping her company.
Is for her relationship with other people that are in the book, is there any key relationship that was hard for you to write about?
I think so. The it is a romance in the novel with the character of Lynn, and I really wanted to get that relationship right and tell a particular kind of story with that relationship. And I wanted it to, a lot of times when I see movies and like particularly romantic comedies, sometimes I'll feel like, you know, that story isn't at all about what I perceive love to be. And so what I wanted to do, not saying I achieved that, but what I wanted to do is I wanted to express a story that told about love in the way that I perceive it to be.
Do you think you succeeded?
I don't know. I'm trying not to judge my work too much because I can be a really harsh critic. I was really pleased that a couple of reviews have said similar things to that. I was really touched by that. I was really touched by the reviews so far. I wasn't expecting them to be as positive as they have been.
So you mentioned earlier, and that's good reviews are always great. So that's your cue, folks. Everybody go out and press the button that's on the show page. There's a button that says click out Robin's author page. Check, click out, click. Robin, I'm going to learn how to read one of these days. Check out Robin's author page and buy her book on Amazon here. Click the Here button. You can go buy her book on Amazon Kindle or paperback today, and that will be a great treat if you do that. What, as somebody who's spending a lot of time writing right now, outside of your full-time job as a writer, which is great that you make a living at that, you don't know how many people would love to be doing what you're doing. So I think that you're very lucky. What novels and books are you working on right now?
Oh, I have a children's book that's coming out this holiday season. It's with a publisher, a wonderful publisher called Vegan Publishers. And the name of the children's book is Santa's First Vegan Christmas. And we already have a Facebook page for it. And I'm planning my first ever book tour for this holiday coming holiday season, with that. Very exciting about that.
Where are you going to tour?
I'm setting the dates in the next few weeks. You're going to be setting all that up. I plan to visit New York and Los Angeles, definitely, and Massachusetts. We've already had some interest in some bookstores there, which I'm very excited about. And
you know you're going to have to come back when your book is ready, and we'll talk about that book as well.
Thank you. That's so awesome. I would love to. You know, I so enjoy your work. I recently saw the gay wedding video. I loved
it.
Gosh. It was so creative.
That was so much fun. Well, offline, I'll be glad to tell you stories about that. But we're here to talk today about you, because otherwise I'll get off topic, and that's not fair to you, because I want to make sure we talk about all the things that are going on in your life here, Robin. But
thank you. Okay.
Well, you know, otherwise it's like, you know, then I don't ever be quiet. Tony knows if I start talking, it's like I have Tourette's and I don't stop. So if we can go back and maybe talk a little bit about your. I know you wrote books as a child, but when did you decide that Next Stop Nina was going to be the book that was going to be the one you were going to try to get published and put out?
You know, I just felt like really compelled to tell this story whenever I came up with the idea. I was so inspired, and I just felt like I could help somebody with the story that I wanted to tell, and also hopefully it would entertain people with the idea, the specific angle on time travel that it has, which I think is different than what's been told in other stories. And I have a wonderful friend, an acting mentor, Jerry Hauser, who really encouraged me to go for it with the book, too. I was a little nervous at first.
Why would you be nervous? You've written so many other things.
I know. This is actually the first book I had ever released, though, after having written for so many years. I have over 100 unpublished screenplays.
Get out!
I haven't ever tried. I've been writing for a really long time, and finally this past year I was like, I'm ready. I'm going to start sharing my work. So it's gone really well since I started.
So did you have like an epiphany moment where you said, okay, now's the time?
Just kind of gradually. Well, I had my children's book accepted by vegan publishers first. And so that gave me a boost of confidence. Yes. And so that gave me the confidence to really start going for it, I think.
Oh, my gosh. Now I have 7,000 more questions, because I would have thought that Next Stop Nina would have been your first book, and now it's really the children's book. So, okay, let's talk about that one, because we'll bring you back later this year when it's ready to release to talk about it in more detail. But how do you write a children's book and then go to a time-traveling love story? Because, you know, people usually stick to a particular genre and say that, you know, I'm going to write science fiction, or I'm going to only write time-traveling love stories, or whatever the case is. How do you do that?
Yeah, I've always sort of gone between genres and types of stories that I wanted to tell. I've written poetry and songs and all different genres, and I also switch like perspectives. Like I like to tell third person perspective.
Oh.
So my mind is just sort of all over the place as far as like what sort of things I want to create. And
so does your publisher have any clue what a gold mine they have with you?
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. I'm really happy with my publisher. They're great.
It's not uncommon to have the writer who writes that first book, and then, you know, they get the advance, or hopefully the publisher likes it, or they sold more than 32 copies to their friends around the world. And then, you know, the publisher says, it's time to write book number two, and then you get into book number two slump. And here you've got like 100 that are just on the back burner, when they go, fine, you like that one? Boom. You don't like that one? Boom. You got this one? Boom. You've got a whole variety there. Do you write in series at all? Like, you know, this is volume 1, 2, and 3, or are these just all completely different stories?
Completely different story so far, but I would like to do a series. I've had a few people request that I write the story of Linz, who is the love interest of Nina in the book, that I tell his story and write a book about him. So I considered that. I may do that.
That would be fun. What would that take out of your life to make for that to happen? Would you have to give up anything, or is it just one of those other 100 books that you're going to be writing?
Yeah, I think I would have to really get focused on it, and because I cut out a lot of his story from the novel originally, so I guess I could start with that. I think it would just be a matter of setting aside the time and going for it.
There you go. So when you got ready to do this book, looking back, you know, because it's nice when the, you know, when the book is in your hand, you're like, oh, this is really cool, and the honeymoon's wore off. But going back to, you know, like day one until you actually had the book in your hand, how long was that process?
For Next Stop Nina, I would say, well, with Next Stop Nina, I chose self-publishing, which is different. I think from now on, I will try traditional publishing. I'm really excited to have the traditional publisher for my children's book. But with self-publishing, though, the cool thing is you can click submit and it will be live, you know, within a day pretty much as far as the ebook. And then the actual print copy, I would say it took about a week to get in my hand from the time I submitted the final copy. So it's self-publishing is fast.
Well, but when you sat down with, like, the story concept, did it, you know, take, like, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years? What was it for the actual writing process for you?
With the actual writing process, I would say this one took probably 6 months altogether. I just sparked some imagination and, like, the general idea a few different moments before that, but I would say 6 months altogether for the writing process.
Did you edit this yourself, or did you hire out an editor?
I did use a private editor for one version of it, and then I self-edited the very final version.
Cool. And what are pros and cons for you on both?
I would recommend. I also work as an editor, I recommend getting an editor. I think that's why self-publishing really gets a bad reputation, because a lot of writers don't use editors, and so they submit. You know, it ultimately hurts the reader and the writer, I think, when you don't use an editor.
Well, it does tend to lead to books that you're going, oh, well, there's a spelling mistake, or here's something that totally doesn't make sense, or there's no plot continuity here. And, you know, it's true. You know, if you're going to go out and do it yourself, I think it's great that you have somebody that comes in after you've said every word on this page is absolute brilliance. Not a word can be changed. And then you realize, you know, 30% of your words are superfluous. So anyway, we're going to take a real quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with author Robin Raven. Her new book is called Next Stop Nina. It's available on Amazon. Go click the link during the break and buy a dozen copies today on paperback, and, of course, get your download Kindle version. We're going to have a couple promos here from It Matters Radio, our friends at Rainbow Brew, and a new commercial I just did today for me. So we'll be right back in a couple of minutes.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Aye, wonderful people. They had me on a while back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a deaf man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
That's a mouthful of alcohol, one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Buy your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
There's your shameless plug for today. But we're joined today by Robin Raven, author of this new book called Next Stop Nina. She's here with us today. It's available on Amazon. I'm encouraging you all to click the Amazon Here button that's on the show page. Just do that and you can go buy the book. And so, Robin, before the break, we're talking about, you know, your experience as a writer and going through all of this. But can we talk about your process when you actually sit down to write? Do you have a favorite time of day to write, a special place that you like to write, a favorite pen that you write with, a particular type of notebook? What do you go through when you sit down and say, today's the day?
I really love to write every time of day. I like to write when I'm inspired, but I think it's also really important to write on a schedule for people who want to really commit to getting novels completed. It's so hard to just write when you get inspiration. So I think one of my favorite things to do is take a journal and write in cafes and people watch while I write. I like to write by hand.
So
in a journal.
In your process, and I can't believe that you like to write all hours of the day. When I sit down to write, I can only write like after my show when it's done at 8 p.m. Pacific time. And then about 9 o'clock, my writing hat clicks on, and that's when I want to write till 1 in the morning. But if I sit down during the day, I can do business letters, I can do emails, I can do, you know, professional stuff. But if you ask me to be creative during the daytime, forget it. It just doesn't happen. So why do you think it's so easy for you to write all the time?
I think it really boils down to practice, I think, because I've written for so long on a daily basis. I think it kind of starts to flow, kind of happens.
It just happens for you. I love that. Okay, so do you have a favorite coffee shop that you go to down in Alabama?
No, I like to try different ones. I always like to go into new places. I had a lot of favorite spots in Los Angeles, so. I used to love to go to Real Food Daily. Have you ever been there? It's great.
I've not. Where's that?
There's one in West Hollywood and one in Santa Monica. The one in West Hollywood's right across, kind of across from the Beverly Center.
Okay. That's a nice area there. I headed anywhere, I always take a look at, you know, if I'm going to go meet somebody for lunch, I say, what's the parking like? If the parking's bad, we're not going. And, you know, so. It usually starts with that, but I'll have to check that out sometime. So do you get distracted by the different scenery that comes into a coffee shop, or do they help fodder any of your stories?
I don't get really easily distracted, not when I'm really focused on a character. I think it kind of helps inspire things.
Do you ever get bothered at the coffee shops? I'm specifically asking, I met a friend at a coffee shop last week, and they were having, the person that I was sitting near, she was having a conference call using the speakerphone from her laptop, and I'm looking at her like, you have just lost your damn mind, woman, don't you know, and she's just, you know, like, carrying on. And it's not like this is her first rodeo. So you know she's a habitual speaker in public person.
Yeah.
I just thought she was – and everyone around her was looking like she's lost her mind. And they had their headsets on while they're sitting there typing and doing their work.
I guess that's so crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's weird how entitled people feel sometimes to, like, the space around them. And it's weird. That is so strange. People do some odd things in public. I don't understand.
Do you give yourself a daily, like, word limit or project limit or anything like that that you have to do before you can go walk away?
I've tried to do that, and I find that it kind of puts too much pressure on me and it makes me less productive.
Okay.
So I haven't been doing that lately. Sometimes I do, but not lately.
So when you are, you know, for those 100 stories, because I want to go back to that. I'm so fascinated that,
yeah.
You know, because you're young. I'm not going to ask how old you are, but you're not like over 100. So as a young person who's writing novels out there and screenplays,
mm-hmm.
what, I mean, how do you come up with 100 different ideas at this stage of your writing career and say, you know, I've mm-hmm. still got 100 more or 200?
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably one of my strengths as a writer is that I come up with ideas all the time. I come up with a lot of ideas per day that I don't think I'll ever use, but I keep a notebook, and like if I get an idea for a novel, I'll like jot it down.
Really?
Like, yeah, it's just one of the weird things. Maybe I should. Yeah, I don't know, but
I don't think that's weird at all. You know, because I remember years ago I'd see videos, you know, like documentaries of Joan Rivers, and she would write down every single joke, and she had like file cabinets in her New York apartment of all the jokes that
mm-hmm.
she'd ever written. And I thought that was a little crazy, but also kind of genius at the same time. So you have, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you're Joan Rivers because you're not a 80-year-old woman living in a New York apartment, but you're writing down all of your ideas. So how
mm-hmm.
often do you go back to those notebooks and say, okay, now's the time to flesh one of these things out?
You know, I haven't. I always keep getting new ideas, so I haven't. So I have all these notebooks that I'm meaning to go through and work with. So if I ever get stuck, I know there are plenty of ideas there.
So that's really just kind of like, okay, my idea dump. And one day, if I ever lose track of all ideas that I could possibly ever have, I can go back to my repository.
That's a great way of looking at it. I haven't really thought of that. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, my gosh. So have you ever been a keyboard writer, or have you always been somebody who likes to write by hand? I love to write by hand. So when you say that, I'm already a big fan of yours.
Oh, thank you. I have gotten used to it now. I didn't even I got online for the first time when I was a freshman in college, which was 1998. So I was late to the game. I don't know what year would you say people started getting computers, probably more of the mid to early 90s. But
by a year or two,
yeah.
So not terrible.
Yeah. So I started writing on keyboards in my late teens, and I've gotten used to it, but I still prefer writing by hand.
So what is it about the writing by hand that you really like?
Oh, that's a very good question. I feel more creative, more inspired, connected to the character in a weird way, sort of like it's my creativity just flows more easily that way.
If I'm going to write, I have to write by hand because that's the best way for me to remember it. If I write on a keyboard, it just kind of in one ear and out the other. So for me, it's one of those mm-hmm. things that I have to feel it by putting the ink on the paper and turning the page and going back. But I'm weird that way. Most of the people I talk to just, you know, type on the keyboard and they think that's great. But, you know, the paper mills
mm-hmm.
love me. So I'm with you.
Yeah.
So when you get ready to sit down and write all of these great stories, what comes first for you? Is the plot or the characters?
Usually the characters come first. I'll start with envisioning a certain character and then think about the type of person they are and where they've come from, what their life has been like, what their favorite music is, what their preferences are, the time they get up. I like to think about the characters first.
So do you create a notebook of the character? And so, you know, it's like you've written kind of like their entire biography before you even begin?
So Sometimes. Sometimes I do that, and sometimes the story starts coming to me, so I'll jump into that first.
And when... Okay, so now you're going to see me jumping all over the place, so I need to stay focused. But I... Talking about jumping, and when earlier we were saying that, you know, sometimes I'll be writing on an article, or sometimes I'm working on a screenplay, and sometimes I'm working on a book. How much of a challenge is it for you, Robin, when you get ready to work on something, when you hit a roadblock and you say, oh, I'm just going to go pick up where I left off on the next project, Project B, and then Project C and Project D? Does it take a different creative energy for you to kind of get your mojo working so you can get back into it? Or are you just, you know, kind of like, let's rock and roll?
Usually it's like, let's rock and roll. Usually I get right back into it. If I do get to where I have writer's block on one thing, I do exactly that. I just switch to another project and I can just jump right into it.
Do you give yourself a certain amount of time before you say, okay, I've got to just put this one down and it's time for me to move on to something else?
I do. I try to give it, you know, as far as like just for the day, I try to give it, you know, 10 minutes to try to get refocused. And I'll try to step away just for like a 10-minute break and see if that will refocus me. And then if I really just can't get focused for the day, I'll just start something else and then get back to it the next day.
I love it. Okay. So I'm taking all kinds of notes this afternoon because now it's like now Robin's giving us a class today here, folks. So I hope that you're listening, and you can always go back and listen to the replay as well. So,
yes.
You know, outside of this, as a writer of lots of different things, are you finding that you're learning things about yourself with the projects that you're creating?
Absolutely, I do. I learn something new about myself, I'd say, with each different project. With Nina, I learned so much. And I think as a writer, you kind of give part of yourself to each project that you do, too. So,
what would be something has kind of come back and hit you in the face and you go like, holy cow, I didn't know that, or boy, I didn't see that one coming?
Yes, great question as well. I think with Next Up Nina, I was surprised at how much of myself I had actually given to the character, because it wasn't as much of a conscious thing, and I don't usually do that with characters as much as I did with her. And so much so that a reviewer picked it up just from reading my online biography. That was kind of surprising and shocking that a stranger could pick up on that. I was like,
Did you know that at any point before the book was finished, or was it something that somebody had to point out to you afterwards?
Oh, I realized it probably as I was finishing the book.
Did you want to go back and change anything?
Personal. You know what? I haven't reread it since publication. Because that, I've been a little bit afraid to reread it. I'm going to, though.
Fair enough. So out of all the things that you're doing, I'm even afraid to ask if you sleep, but I'm assuming that you get at least some shut-eye a day. So when you're not busy writing all of these things, what are you passionate about? What do you love?
I love dancing. And I love animals. I'm animal crazy. I love to volunteer with animals, any chance I get.
Do you have pets?
I don't at the moment, but I'm going to start fostering again. I plan to move back to Los Angeles probably early 2017 at this point and foster and adopt rescue pets.
Now, do you have a favorite type of pet that you like to rescue?
I love cats and dogs, and I love donkeys. I haven't ever owned a donkey, but I saw that.
Now that you're saying that, I was like, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be one of those, is that real? I'm just going to kind of roll with that. I think donkeys are very cool. So what brought this love of donkeys to you?
I originally started loving donkeys based on this little Disney animated little show from the 80s called Small One. It wasn't from the 70s. From the 70s or 80s called Small One. It was about this donkey. And I just fell in love with this animated donkey. And when I got into animal rescue, and I've met donkeys at sanctuaries, and I just really love them.
Do you think you ever want to have like a, you know, I tell everybody I want to be the Cesar Millan of Orange County and just have my own, you know, thing like that. Do you ever want to do like a rescue organization yourself?
Yes, I would love to have an animal sanctuary. That's definitely one of a dream of mine. I talked about it with a few of my girlfriends. We really want to do that. So,
would you do like a donkey sanctuary, or would it be for, you know, like all pets, or do you want to specialize in anything?
Probably for all, whatever pets needed a home in the area, I would say.
It's so tough because they're all like, I'm a big sucker. I've got 5 dogs, you know, and our limit in Orange County is 3. So don't tell anybody if you're listening in Orange County that I've got 5. And I would have like 500 if I could, but that would make me the crazy dog guy. So when you're looking at fostering or rescuing or things like that, and I know your heart's as big as the sunshine out today here in Los Angeles. Do you have a preference over a breed or type that you prefer to foster if given a choice, or are you open to anything?
I'm really open to anything. I had my childhood love of my life was my dog, Marta. I just loved her. She was a mutt. And they called her a feist, but I don't know if that's like a type of mutt, but
okay.
She doesn't seem to be that way. But my heart's open to any rescue.
Oh, my gosh. So when you take a look at the rest of this year, what do you have on the horizon for you?
I'm finishing up a novel that I hope to enter into Kindle's Scout program.
Okay,
what's that? For novels now. Oh, it's this program that they have where you enter your novel and then people vote on it. And if it gets enough votes, then the editors decide that they want your book. They give you a $1,500 advance, and then they are the publishing company and they publish your book. And,
oh, nice.
It gets, yeah, so that sounds like a fun thing. And I also want to get a literary agent this year. I'm just going to try that for the first time, so.
So are you going to be posting on social media when you enter that Amazon contest so everybody can vote for you?
I am, absolutely.
So where should people find you on social media platforms so they know where to go and become fans and follow you and get all the latest and greatest?
Oh, I would love that to happen. Twitter, Robin Raven, and the same on Facebook, facebook.com/RobinRaven. And Instagram, I'm Robin Raven with an A at the end.
Robin Raven and, A. Okay.
Yes, Robin Raven A, yes. And yes, I would love to chat with people there.
Nice. So if you had, as we're getting ready to wrap up our time together, if you had a couple of minutes to talk to young aspiring creatives out there, if you're a writer or actor or singer or whatever it is that you want to do, and you're listening to the show right now, Robin, if you could just reach out and tell them with all of your experience, a few words of advice, what would you like to tell the listeners tonight?
Oh, I would say that you should go for your dreams. Don't let anyone tell you you can't do something. That be true to yourself. Be really an advocate for yourself in a way. And if you want to be a griner, make sure you commit to grinding every day, or at least a certain amount of days per week, say 5 days a week. And even if you can only write 500 words each day, just commit to doing it on a daily basis. And I think that will ensure that people improve as writers, and it can also help you determine what sort of things you want to write and get to know yourself as a writer.
I think that's great advice. Everybody, it's been Robin Raven. She is the author of Next Up, Nina, and you can buy it on Amazon today. Again, go buy 10 copies, one for yourself, 9 as gifts, and that's a nice number to use. And we will be back in just a couple of minutes with a quick wrap-up for the day. In the meantime, here's a little Cynthia Manley. Everybody dance.
With you.
There we go. That's a little Cynthia Manley. She has been a guest on the show recently, and we've been getting mad requests of her all the time. Robin Raven was our VIP guest star today. I want to thank her for taking time out of her busy schedule to talk to us about her new book called Next Stop Nina. Go to Amazon.com and buy it today. Again, buy the 10 copies, one for you, nine as gifts. You might as well make some people happy. You know some people that have Kindles. Send them a gift today for a bargain price. So we'll have Robin back later in the year when she's talking about her children's book and vegan food. I should have asked her about that. I want to find out all about why she is a vegan. I've had vegan food, what was it? It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago for the first time ever. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my mind. It was some of the best food I've ever had. Now, the only question that I had, though, because my friend that I was with, I said, you know, are you willing to try vegan food? And I said, yeah, sure, whatever. And so, you know, he ordered and said, you know, do you like chicken? I said, but it's a vegan restaurant. They're not going to have chicken. And he says, it tastes like chicken. And I said, what is it? And he goes, I don't know, but it tastes like chicken. That was a little bit of a leap of faith for me. I will tell you along the way that that was tough for me to overcome. But one bite of the food, and I was like, I'm hooked. And the place on, I don't know, I guess it was Saturday night, probably like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And it was, you know, kind of one of these mini strip mall types of places. The place was packed. Kept having people come in and out, people coming in for takeout. And, you know, but of course it may be an LA thing. I don't know. And I was just corrected that the guest on my second part of the show this Friday is DJ Shry, like rye bread, not Shree, like I said at the beginning. So DJ Matt Shry is providing content for hour number two this Friday night on the dance party. Thank you very much for doing that. I love talking to these new DJs because, you know, one of the things I can do is help give them visibility, but I love hearing their mixes that they do to the music that we get to listen to. And I think that is always fun. Speaking of fun, I want to go back and tell you that on the Friday night dance party this past week, we had Jasmine Crow on the line, and she is a singer-songwriter. She's got 4 songs that are out on iTunes right now. Would love for you to go check those out. And it's a non-paid endorsement, and I'm not making any money on this, folks, but I will tell you that all 4 of the songs that she shared with us, all of them were enjoyable. So if you like good dance music, I think that that might be something fun to do. And for those with an adult ear in the LGBT community, and you know that means not for the faint of heart, you should check out the Super Gay radio show that we did this past Saturday with Paul in Mass. We're going to be doing some special features with Paul as we move through the weeks. We're not going to be doing one this week because this Saturday I'm actually going to be up at the Oscars gifting suite. I'm an official photographer for that event. And that's all day. So I'm getting up there, helping people get set up, and then taking pictures of people, you know, taking their $1 trillion worth of garb out of there. But that will be fun. I don't know what pictures I'll get to post, but if I'm able to do that, I will do that. And that will be this coming Saturday. But we'll return with a Super Gay radio show starring Paul in Mass on Saturday, March 5th. We look forward to that. Paul's already given me heads up that we're going to be having some drag queen talk because RuPaul's Drag Race is starting up in the coming weeks, and that will be something that he wants to make sure we get addressed. So we're going to address it. I will also thank our dear friends at DerekAndRomaine.com who had me on as a guest on Friday night on their program. They let me talk about Blonde Jesus. They let me talk about this show. They played my music. and they had great interaction on the chat room. So I want to say thanks again to Derek and Romaine for the opportunity to promote this program and my work. I've also made sure that we had a DNR 2.0, Derek and Romaine 2.0 special that was on the website all weekend. So if you were in on that, your CDs went to the post office at 9:15 this morning, and they are on their way to you. Even the callers in Canada, your CDs are in the mail. I've got a new Facebook promo special that's going up right now. It's $15. It gets you an autographed CD, free postage in the U.S., and downloads of both Blonde Jesus and my first album, Eyes Wide. The downloads you get like right now, and then the autographed CDs come in the mail first class, and you get it in a couple of days. But I autograph it to you or whoever you tell me to, and it's my pleasure to do so for you. So this is the show today, folks. I want to thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening to Robin's story. I love hearing new guests on the show. I hope that she will come back in the future and spend time with us. Tomorrow again, Lisa Pini is our Celebrity Psychic of the Week. She'll be on at 4 p.m. Pacific time, a little earlier than the quote-unquote normal start time. There is no normal here. And if you'd like to call in and ask Lisa a question, please do so. But you will want to call in at 323-657-1493 as we get ready to get to about 15 minutes before the show starts. That's when the phone lines open, and that is when you are able to call in. And if you'd like to, you know, kind of bypass all the psychic surfers that will call in for that show, call in early. And if you know, when I'm screening your call and you say, oh, you know, I heard you yesterday mentioned to call in early, I'll make sure you get on first, or, you know, as close to first as we can. We really do get hundreds of calls. So it's a pleasure to do that. Big shout outs today to Rob up in Northern California, Ryan in Hollywood, Sheena in Hollywood. We've been pinging during the show. Charlotte is up in, you're more in the Mira Loma area. We've got Clara in Lima, Peru. Thank you for tuning in. Zoe's up in Seattle. Kathy's in Long Beach. Eric's in Mesa, Arizona. We've got Paul in Oklahoma. Jackie is also in Tulsa. And everybody, Deb is out of, Deb, I think you're out of Columbus. Thank you for pinging me and saying that you're listening tonight. It's a pleasure to have you here. Follow the show. You just click the little follow button, and you'll get an update for every live broadcast. We're live either 5 or 6 days a week. We're always here for you. And then you can also find us on Apple's iTunes under the podcast category for Rated G Radio. I think I'm out of breath. So everybody, please have a fantastic night. I will see you live on Tuesday with Lisa Pini. Don't drive distracted, and thank you for being part of Rated G Radio.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.